Thank you, Ms. Lisa. Well, it is good to be back from camp. I am glad the drive is over with. You know, taking a family on a 8-hour trip is one thing. Taking 13 kids on an 8-hour trip is another thing. But we had a good time. It was a blessing, as it has been in the past. Had really good preaching, really good messages. Especially for a young guy who's about 27, 28 years old. He's a youth pastor out of Arkansas. He was a Crown College graduate and a basketball player. But really engaging, really knew the Word of God, and it rolled off his mouth like it was been there his whole life. He said he'd been preaching for 11 years, and he's 27, so he started preaching when he was 16 years old. And really, really good job. Really grabbed a hold of the kids' attention, and they really focused. Didn't have very many issues. If you have your Bibles, and I pray you didn't come to God's house without them, go ahead and find your place over in the 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. For those that are visiting, I know there's returning visitors, but my name is Brother Jacob. I'm a lay preacher of the church, and we are still hunting a pasture, which is why Brother Woods is coming back for his second time next Sunday. So y'all be in prayer for that. Even if you're a visitor, still be in prayer for that for us. We covet your prayers. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'll be talking pretty much through the whole story of David and his infidelity. But the title of the message today is Facing Your Sin When It's Grown Up. Facing Your Sin When It Has Grown Up. A little different message for a Sunday morning, but this is what God burdened my heart with. And I try to do what he says most of the time. That or I do what my wife tells me to. One of the two. What verse in the Old Testament is said to be quoted the most in the New Testament? What verse in the Old Testament is said to be quoted the most in the New Testament? No takers today. It is said that Psalms 110 and verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It's said to be the most quoted verse in the New Testament from the Old. The poorly paid local pastor grew watermelons to supplement his meager income. He was doing pretty well for himself, but he was disturbed by some local kids who would sneak into his watermelon patch at night and eat his watermelons. After some careful thought, he came up with a clever idea that he thought would scare the kids away for sure. He made up a sign and posted it in the field. The next day, the kids showed up and they saw the sign, which read, warning, one watermelon is filled with cyanide. The kids ran off, made their own sign, and posted it next to the pasture sign. When the pastor returned, he surveyed the field. He noticed that no watermelons were missing. But the sign next to his read, now there are two. For each is his own. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 through 14 will be our text for the day. If you have your places, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. The word of God says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Father God, we thank you for your written word this morning. We thank you for your love that sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we pray today if one is here that does not understand that, Lord, is not saved, we pray today be that day of salvation. Lord, be with those in the back as they teach, Miss Carol, Miss Lily, Miss Debbie, help them, Father. Help their children to be attentive and to listen what they have for them, what you have for them today, Father. And we do pray if there's one old enough back there that one would also be saved. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful time that we had at camp and for the salvation that was wrought. We thank you. We thank you for the life decisions that were made and the changes. And Lord, now we pray, Father God, that you'd help those that are committed to you to stay strong and to stand in thy might. Lord, we pray for Anita again. Lord, we lift her up. She is special to our hearts, and we thank you for that. Just touch her and heal her as only you can. You are the master and the maker of all things. And Lord, we desire a miracle from you. Father God, we thank you for this short time that we have today. Lord, we pray that you would bless it. We pray that you would block out anything, Lord, that would disturb it. And Lord, that you would open our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word into our hearts. And Lord, help us to glean and to grow. Help your unworthy servant to preach. And Lord, above all things, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. The story starts out over in chapter 11. We find David the king is walking across the housetop of his palace. And in doing so, it's midday, and he looks out across and he sees a woman cleaning herself, washing herself. And David takes notice of this woman from a distance. And because he looked again, it's understandable for somebody to notice somebody in a distance. But the trouble that we find is when somebody looks again. And this look again created a lustful desire in the King David's heart. And then this sin began to grow into much of his lust of the heart become lust of the flesh that he coveted her. In the Bible, if you read the story in chapter 11, we find that King David sent for her. And she was brought into his own house. And that he laid with her. And that she conceived a child. And this is how the sin started. Started out with just a look. And the look turned into a desire. And the desire was turned into a touch. And it turned into adultery. And then as we continue to read the story of David and this sinful act with Bathsheba, we find that David commits even more sin. You see, that's how sin works, though. Sin conceives sin. Started out with one sin of lust, then covet, and then adultery. And then as we continue to read the story, we find that David is now trying to hide his sin. He calls for Uriah to come out of battle. And he calls for him to come to the palace. He tries to give Uriah a couple of days off from the war. And so that he was hoping that Uriah would go home to his wife. And that his sin would not be made known. But Uriah, being who he was, a great servant of the king, he was faithful to David. He was faithful to the battle. And so much that he did not even go home, that he slept at the gates with the rest of the soldier. Because his heart was on the war. His heart was for his king. Well, that didn't work. They came and told that Uriah just slept all night at the gate and did not go to his wife. So David came to Uriah and brought him in to eat with him, to sup, the Bible says. And he gave him much wine and got him drunk. David's trying again. And again, Uriah sleeps at the gates. It did not work. So now David writes a letter to his captain. And he gives Uriah the letter to deliver. The letter is a death certificate. You see, inside the letter is a message. And when the message is delivered, Joab takes the letter and he reads it. And David has written, "Send Uriah to the heat of the battle so that he might die." The Bible says that Joab looked across and he figured out where the most valor of men was. And that's where he sent Uriah. Sin conceived more sin. And it grew and it grew. So Uriah went out into the heat of the battle. And we know the story. He died. Heard a story of a preacher. Been preaching for a long time. He went to a conference. At this conference, he met a lady and had a one-night stand with her. He thought he had got away with this. For years and years, he had dealt with this sin inside of his heart, but it had never come out. And then 18 years after this conference, there was a knock at the door. Preacher opened the door, and there was still a young lady that looked just like him. You see, our sins we try to hide. Our sins we try to cover up with more sins. Our sins we try to do everything but confess them and to get rid of them. But what do you do when your sins grow up? And our sins do grow up. That preacher thought he had got away with it. David was trying for everything he had to get away with the sin. And so much that he committed murder. But what do you do with your sin when it grows up? What do you do with your sin when it comes back to you and it shows his ugly head? David would have to face his sin. Just like that preacher when that girl knocked on the door and realized it was her daughter, his daughter. There are sins in our lives that were unconfessed. There are things that we have done in our past that one day they are going to grow up. We're going to have to face them. Can you face your sins when they grow up? Most of us can't. David kept trying and trying to do everything that he could to hide his sin. And when he found out that Uriah had died, he had to wait 7 days, which was a day of time of mourning. And as soon as the 7 days were over, David rushed to marry Bathsheba. He had to do it quickly because he did not want anyone to suspect that she was pregnant beforehand. He was still trying to hide his sin. And we do the same thing. We tell one lie, and the next thing you know, we're telling another lie. And the next thing you know, we're telling another lie. And then we get so far into it, we forgot about the first lie we told. And we get caught. Can I tell you, your sin today is going to grow up. You're going to have to face it. Yes, our God is a forgiving God. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. But the sin has already set its course in your life. He didn't say He stops that. He says He forgives a repentant heart. And that He no longer sees that sin in you. But the sin that you committed will grow and cause you issues down later on in life. I used an object lesson one time for the kids. I set myself on fire. I did. I love children's church. Y'all can come watch sometimes. I don't set myself on fire in here though. But I set myself on fire. And I walked up to the closest kid and I asked him, "What happens if I touch you?" The fire transfers. But the most important lesson was the burnt matchstick that I lit myself with. It was still a matchstick, wasn't it? You could still tell what it was. But how did it look? It was charred. It was black. And it couldn't be used the same as it was the first time around. Can I tell you that's what sin does to all of our hearts and our lives? That once we conceive sin and commit to that sin leaves a lasting scar on us. Yes, our God will forgive us, but the mark's already there. There was a woman. This was back in the early 80s, and she was driving along a two-lane road. It was late at night, and it was storming real bad. She was tired. As the story goes, it was passed down from a preacher friend. He said that the lady pulled over into an old house place and took her daughter inside to sleep. Said the little girl wouldn't quit crying. The mother, being tired and aggravated from the drive, kept telling her, hush, to be quiet, hush, be quiet. She'd be quiet for just a little bit, and then the little kid would start crying again. So the mother got aggravated and put the kid in the closet. So the kid would scream for a little bit and then would whimper and cry out, Mom, Mom. And finally the little baby girl quit crying. And the mother went to sleep. The next morning the mother wakes up. She realizes the daughter's not there. And then she remembered what she did. So she goes and opened the closet door. Her little girl laid there dead with two rattlesnakes. Our sin has a price. Our sin affects others. What do you do with your sin when it grows up? We find David in the story. To be honest, David probably thinks in himself that he's got away with it. Uriah is dead. He's married Bathsheba in time, so no one suspects that the child is wrought in any other way than through marriage. But just like the Holy Spirit deals with our heart and sin, God sent Nathan. Nathan comes unto the king. And as we read in our text today, he tells him all that he had done. He said, I know you did this. And I know you did this. And I know you did that. But of course, we know how did it start? How did Nathan's story start? It starts with the story of a lamb. Nathan tells David about a lamb. The story starts that a poorer man or a lesser man, it says, has a lamb that he has taken care of and treated as his own kid. He only has one lamb. And he goes on to say that a richer man had a guest over and was going to offer him this lamb. The richer man did not want to use his own lamb that he had. He desired the other. So he took the other man's, the lesser man's lamb. And he cut it and fed it to the man. And of course we know the story that David got mad. And he says, 80 shall be refilled. And Nathan tells him, 80 shall be your punishment too. You see, our sin when it grows up has more than when it was when we started. We may have started out with one sin, but it may have rolled downhill and caused a lot of damage. One lie can ruin a person's life or a person's family. There's people in jail right now that are sitting there because of what? One sin. How did it affect their families? Greatly. How did it affect their loved ones? Their kids are now being raised by moms because dads across the world are in jail because of one sin. When their sin grew up, they ended up in life in prison. Or maybe 20, 15 years. That's how they had to deal with their one sin. David's sin grew into multiple sins. And because of the story, now 80, the Bible says he's going to have to repay. You see, when David was faced with his sin, Nathan says, God says this. And what did God tell him? That the sword shall never leave his house. That because of your sin, from now on, your family is going to be affected. And we know if you read the Bible throughout the rest of Israel's history, it was affected because of David's sin. And we find that, first off, his child that was born in adultery died. That was the first punishment. Can you imagine because of your sin that you lose your own child? his sin grew up. And he had to face it. Then number two, we find that his daughter was raped by one of his own children. His sin continued to grow up. And then what do we find? That his own son killed his son because of what he did. David's house is now torn apart and shaken up. The sword has not left. And then what we find later? His own son desired the kingdom and tried to kill him. And then his own son dies. Fourscore he had to pay. Can I tell you, when our sins grow up, we have to face them. We're going to have to answer them later on. No, our God forgives us. And that's a great and wonderful thing that our God forgives us. But before we step off into that sin, are we man or woman enough to face that sin again when it grows up? Because it will grow. We will have to answer for it. There will be things in our life that we will have to recompense. It will change the course of time for us because of what we did. It's not what we allowed to happen. It's what we did. Either we didn't do it when we were supposed to, or did do it. One of the two. David's sin started out with a look. Went from a look to the heart. And then to the touch. And then to trickery and lies. And then to murder. And then he paid with his own family. But we know from reading our text a wonderful thing. It says in verse 13, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also hath put away the sin," or thy sin. God is a faithful and just God. We know all of Psalms 51, if you know what it is by heart, if you've ever read it. It is David's outcry. It's David's pleading with God. It's David's repentance of his sin that he had committed. It's where David asks for God to restore in him the joy of thy salvation. God will do the same thing for us for our sins. The issue always lies, though. One, are you repentant? Two, when that sin comes knocking back at your door, can you face it? What are you going to do when it comes back to you? We should never step off in the first place. But what are you going to do when your sin grows up? And how are you going to deal with it? Let's stand. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your love and for your grace and for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for us. Lord, we know that it's through him that our sins are forgiven if we truly repent. We know it's through his shed blood, Father God, that brings on your mercy to us and your blessings and your grace. But Father God, help us to realize that even though there's repentance, even though you forgive us, there's still a price to pay in our lives. Lord, we don't have freedom just to sin. That's not what being saved means. Being saved means to live holy and just lives, for you are. Help us, Father God, to be burdened so much. The Holy Spirit will get a hold of us so much, Lord, that when we think about something that we shouldn't be, that the question pops in our minds, what do we do when this sin grows up? Lord, is the lost one here, save him. There's one that strayed, bring him back. Have your will and your way in this invitation. It belongs to you, Father. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. The altar is open. Maybe it's a time for repentance from you. Maybe you need to come and ask God forgiveness.